Welcome, welcome, welcome to Pocketoid, the one and only handheld gaming podcast that always correctly predicts when Nintendo is going to put out another Indie World / Nintendo Direct. And so we never, ever record an episode right before they do one of those.
Yeah, never happened before. Probably won't ever happen ever, honestly.
Yeah, I know. And so that's our guarantee here at Pocketoid is, you know, if there's going to be a Nintendo Direct, you will get coverage of it as soon as it happens.
All I know is it sure seems like someone at Nintendo is listening to the show. And I need to provide any proof. I think it stands on its own.
We know you listen, Chad. We know it's you.
I hope Chad listens, but also if he doesn't, I get it.
He does sometimes.
Busy man.
Yeah. What was I going to say? The other one. Oh, the other thing that we're really good about is recording episodes and then, you know, not having the audio fuck up and having to redo the whole episode again.
Oh, yeah. No, never happened. I don't even know why you would bring that up.
Yeah,
It seems weird.
Yeah, it seems weird to bring that up. Anyway, my name's Jordan. You can follow me on Twitter at Jackal27. With me, as always, is my gorgeous, lovely, handsome, and very strong co-host.
It's me, the strongest, stupid, dumbass nerd in the world. Not really. Hello, I'm Addison. You can follow me on the internet at Addison_L. Or don't. It's whatever.
And you can follow the show at Pocketoid. You can also find a link in our pinned tweet to join our super wholesome and really fun Discord, which has been just a really good vibe lately. A lot of people joining and a lot of new folks in there. And tonight we're going to watch some wrestling together. So that's awesome. Come hang out in our Discord. You can find a link to that in our pinned tweet, or you can find another link on our website at pocketoidpodcast.com, which has links to all of our stuff, including our Twitch channel, which I think we're going to stream this week, right? I think so.
Maybe.
All right. I'm down for it.
A lot can happen between now and Tuesday, so
yes, it can.
TBD, but that's the plan.
Last week was Tuesday was just no good. There were some horrific, horrible things happening in the world, with extra horrible this time. And so we just, you know, we're like, yeah, not a good time. We're just going to let it breathe tonight and let it go. You know, I was actually, when I was like kind of going back through our old episode, or the one that we lost before this, you know, I'm kind of glad that we're re-recording it, because I think that I was actually watching Kyle Bosman on YouTube, and he was talking about how, you know, he's been able to keep kind of a straight face throughout the whole week. But then as soon as he came into his show, it just kind of all hit him at once. And that's definitely how I felt last week when we recorded. I was just like,
yeah,
you know, I've been doing good. And then as soon as we hit that record button, I was just like, I am not doing well. So I think it's maybe good that it got delayed a little bit. But we're not here to talk about all the horrible, depressing things in the world. There are places and times for those, of course. But here, we just hope that you can find a break from that. We're going to talk about some fun video games. And I'm excited because we got a lot of cool stuff to talk about this week. But let's kick it off with Addison. What have you been playing this week, Addison?
I haven't been playing a whole lot. I am slowly working my way through the first Judgment game, and that's been enjoyable.
Nice.
It's just nice to play a Yakuza game again, and also one that isn't like an RPG, which, I mean, I love Like a Dragon. That might be my favorite Yakuza.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of nice to go back to like the roots and do like actual beat 'em up kind of fighting.
I got to play that at some point, man. I got to get to the rest of those games.
And then I've also been playing some Kirby 64 and Ocarina of Time on the old Nintendo Switch Online, because my brain's broken.
That's awesome. I remember last time we talked about this, you had mentioned, because you were like, something you were saying was leading into me thinking you were saying you were going to be playing it on your CRT. But you know what? If you're playing Kirby 64 in any way, shape, or form, I really can't complain.
Which, I mean, whenever I first got that flash cart for my 64, I did play Kirby 64 on my CRT.
It's so good. What a good game.
Yeah. God, I don't know. I wanted to kind of get some use out of my 64 controller that I have for my Switch. And so I don't know why. I just kind of I had started on Ocarina of Time whenever the 64 stuff came out, and I played up through the first dungeon and then just kind of set it down.
Well, when it first came out, it was super glitchy and stuff too. There was a lot of problems.
Yeah. Yeah, they've put a lot of work into it now, and it's a lot better. But I just was like, you know, I'm going to play some Ocarina of Time. And then I just kept playing it. And I've continued to just kind of check in here and there. And it's just a very warm, cozy game for me. And so I've been doing that and a few other things that we'll talk about later. And last night I played a game that I'm going to talk about next episode. I think like maybe 4 hours straight.
I mean, they didn't give me an embargo on it, so I feel like you can say what it is.
Okay, so it's Fishing Paradiso.
Yeah.
And I will have a lot to say about that next episode.
Rad.
But I will, for now, I'll just say that I have not been able to stop playing it, although I do have a lot of feelings about the game, and we'll like I said, we'll get into that next time. What about you? What have you been playing?
For me, let's see. Now I actually have to go back and remember because I'm actually forgetting. Oh yeah, I was in bed rest. I was on bed rest for like a week because I got surgery, and that sucked. But it was, you know, it was kind of, I don't want to say nice to have a break, but I just sort of, you know, this time I was prepared for it because I've already had this surgery before. So I was kind of like, all right, I know what I'm going to feel like. I know what I want to, what I'm just going to be like confined to a room for several days. So I just did a little CRT setup, and I burned a bunch of Sega Saturn games, and I spent like a whole week playing Sega Saturn, and it was awesome.
Nice.
It was really, really fun. I mostly stuck to like kind of slower stuff. You know, I tried to do a little Panzer Dragoon, and I tried to do a little Burning Rangers, but I was like, no, I need like something that's a little more slow paced. So I wound up playing Shining Force 3 and Grandia, which is kind of the main thing I've been playing lately, actually. It's a fan translation of the original Sega Saturn version of Grandia. Grandia 1 is like, for those who don't know, when it was like kind of getting hyped up and being released, it was supposed to be like the Sega Saturn's answer to Final Fantasy VII. And then of course the Sega Saturn like bombed over here in the US, and you know, even though Japan sales were really good, you know, it couldn't carry, you know, the console worldwide. And so we actually never got the Sega Saturn version of Grandia here in the US, even though it was supposed to be like the Sega Saturn's FF7. We actually only got it on the PlayStation. So and that PlayStation port has a lot of problems, like longer loading times and some graphic stuff that doesn't look as good as the Saturn. And so it's nice to be able to play the Sega Saturn game for the first time. And it's a nice little JRPG. It's you play as like one of the most shonen-esque protagonists I've ever seen. He's just like he's just real horny for adventure. That is his character. It's just adventure, adventure, adventure. I want to be an adventurer. I want to go on an adventure. But it's like kind of reminds me of like a Studio Ghibli film in some ways, though, because like even the villains, even the villains sometimes in the game don't feel as like reprehensible as they do in like other anime stuff. And and all the characters are just kind of wholesome. And even if people kind of roll their eyes at Justin, the main character, like, oh, you know, yeah, sure, you're going to be an adventurer. Eventually they all come around and they're like, wow, yeah, good luck, Justin. You're doing a great job. So I don't know. It's just a fun little wholesome RPG about sailing on the ocean and going through ruins. Hey, and it's great.
That also sounds like a cozy game.
It does. It is. It is cozy. Yeah. And it was nice to play it while I was in bed for a week, which wasn't fun, but the game was fun. Two nights ago, I actually played it quite a bit more. And one of the things that's cool is it doesn't have random encounters. Like, you can see the enemies on the map, which is pretty rare for a game of that era. And what that means is there's less battles, but it allows them to turn the dungeons, to make the dungeons bigger and more like puzzle-like. Because you're not getting frustrated every 5 seconds with a battle, you know, popping up. It's a nice game. I like Grandia. If you get a chance to play it, especially on the Sega Saturn, I highly recommend doing so. Maybe whenever the Sega Saturn Core for the Mister release is here pretty soon. At least I hope it's pretty soon.
Yeah, I wonder. I do kind of wonder how long it'll be before that comes out.
I mean, they've got the source code out now, so some people are already playing around with it. But yeah, I gotta wonder how long it'll be before the final version releases. There's no.
Like, I wonder if we're gonna see that first or the Neo Geo one first. Oh,
definitely Pocket. I'd say, because the Neo Geo Pocket's really is not complicated to handle. I feel no, like.
But I also thought that we would have seen that by now, but.
Hey, Joe, take us. He's a busy boy. You know, he works on like a lot of stuff. He's,
I know. I'm not complaining. I just am like a little surprised.
Yeah,
that's all.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll see. Yeah, so I played Sega Saturn games. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I've been playing. Besides our review stuff, they're really. I played a little bit more of Lost in Random, which is great. I still love that game a lot. It made me want to go back and try Slay the Spire some more, but man, that game still just doesn't click for me for whatever reason. I'm just...
Yeah, I don't know what it is about that, because I love that game.
I know. I think I would like it a lot more if I just felt like I knew how to build decks better, but I'm never good at planning decks very well.
I also picked up... I didn't mention it because I haven't played it yet, but I picked up Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen. Oh,
hell yeah.
And I thought I was going to play that last night, but I kept playing, Fishing Paradiso. So, I will play some Dragon's Dogma at some point.
Hell yeah. I'm very excited for you to play Dragon's Dogma. So I guess aside from the stuff that we're reviewing here in a little while, which honestly was a lot of my playtime, I have played a little bit of One Piece Pirate Warriors 3 Ultimate Edition, Deluxe Edition for the Switch, which is, it was like on sale for $6 recently. And I was like, you know what? Cause I just caught up on One Piece. I was like, yeah, I want some more One Piece. I'm going to buy this. I'm going to spend $6 on this. And it's been a good time. It's a great Musou game. At least so far anyway, the mechanics are a little different from some other ones I've played. So I'm still trying to figure out the combat a little bit, but it's fun. And then the other game I've been playing that I am not going to review fully this episode, because it's going to take up pretty much a whole episode for me to talk about, is Citizen Sleeper, which, holy shit.
Oh, my gosh. Game. I'm excited to hear you talk about that.
Oh, I'm so excited to talk about it. I don't want to spoil my review. When we recorded this episode that borked, I hadn't finished it yet, but now I finished it and actually started a second playthrough already. That's a great game. If I had to compare it to something, if you're curious about it and you don't want to wait for my full review next episode, I would compare it to like Persona 3 Portable without the dungeon crawling. It's an RPG. It's very like tabletop RPG too. There's a lot of reading, and there's like some dice mechanics going on, and it's less about like battling and more about making decisions and resolving conflicts and, using the points that you have on specific actions and building your character in a certain way so you can like perform certain actions. But all that takes place in this really cool cyberpunk world with like incredible music and incredible writing. And I'll go into like a lot of detail about it next time, but just know that I like Citizen Sleeper a lot. And, if you're curious about that game at all, I would highly recommend it. So,
I just want to ask real quick if you think it's something that, knowing me, is that something that you think I would enjoy?
I think so. It's really hard to say. Because when I first saw this, I was like, yeah, it looks nice. But I was like, I don't know if it's for me, just looking at screenshots and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And then our buddy Spencer, who has apparently worked on it or is working on,
press relations stuff. He works for the publisher published it.
That makes sense. He was like, hey, you guys got to check this out. And I was like, yeah, all right. I've heard a lot of good things from people I respect, so I'll check it out. And man, like as soon as I started it, it just clicked for me and I was just like in it. Even if it's not like crazy your thing, it's only like 6 hours long for a playthrough. So
I was really surprised. Excuse me. I was really surprised when I learned how short it was. I didn't realize that it was that short.
It's like a short but really deep game. There's a lot that you can do and miss in that time period where you're like, oh wow, I definitely want another playthrough or two to be able to make different choices. Like I think there's like something like 9 endings or something, or 5 endings. So anyway, it's we'll talk about it more next time. I'm already spoiling my review. Did you like Persona 3 Portable? Like the more like visual novel style,
I RPG? did, but I did, but I also really like Persona 3 mm-hmm. a lot.
Well, I don't know. Just wait for my full review then. If you're like, I don't know, I'm not sure. Either watch some stuff and make your decision.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I just thought maybe I didn't know if you would have like an immediate answer, basically.
I think so. I think you would like it a lot. All right, let's go to our reviews. I actually remembered another game we can review that we didn't cover last episode.
Oh, what?
Assault Chain Gun, SKN.
Oh my god. How did we forget? was that the last time that we streamed?
Yes, it was.
Oh my god.
It's been a little while.
I guess it was, huh?
It's been a rough couple weeks. So a couple of weeks ago, Addison and I decided to stream, and we were like, what are we gonna stream? We couldn't decide on anything, and then Addison suggested this game, Assault Chain Gun SKM. Or is it Assault Chain Guns KM? I don't know.
There's no way to tell.
And there's also no way to tell.
No one really knows.
There's no way to tell who worked on this game because they didn't put any credits in it. What the fuck?
Yeah, what the... That's like probably... I'm going to just guess, you know, as at least speaking on my side of things, that's probably my biggest complaint of Same. The game. I don't know about you, but...
It's fucked up. Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah.
So Assault Chain Guns KM is a light gun shooter for the Nintendo Switch. At the time that we bought it, it was like on sale for $2 or something.
Something like that. Yeah, it was insane. It was very, very cheap.
It is back up to $9.99 now, which is a bit of a hard ask for this game. But I will say...
I have
say,
a feeling it probably goes on sale a lot, if yeah, I had to guess.
Yes, absolutely. It is $9.99. It is from publisher Moonglass. Don't ask me who they are or who made it. I couldn't tell you. It apparently released in 2020, but I've never heard anyone talk about this game, which is bizarre with how fun it is.
I can't... And, like, something that is bothering me is I cannot remember how I came across it. Mm-hmm. And so it's like really kind of messed with me mentally where I'm just like, oh, this is one of those things where I'm like, yeah, we are living in a simulation because somehow I just manifested this game that shouldn't exist.
In each universe, like there's a point where Addison discovers Assault Chain Gun SKM. And
yes,
yeah, that's great.
This is a deleted scene from Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah. that's like one of your, like to get your special power, to activate your special power, you need to play Assault Chain Guns KM. God, what a good game. So anyway, here's the thing about Assault Chain Guns. It's just New York Machine Guns. If you've ever heard of the game, or Gunblade New York, that's what it is. LA Machine Guns, Gunblade New York. If you've ever played Gunblade New York or seen the arcade cabinet, it has these two big old honking guns on it. And when you fire them, they go, like they shake like crazy. And you're just kind of flying in a helicopter around this city. I think it's made by Sega. And you're flying in a helicopter around the city and you're shooting cyborgs with these chain guns that just make these giant explosions. And they released the games as a double pack for the Wii. And, they are, you know, they're a little pricey. They're one of the pricier Wii games, but they are awesome, awesome games. They're just kind of fun to play in short bursts. You can blaze through them in like 30 minutes. And, I'd never get sick of playing those games. Well, Assault Chain Guns KM is just that game.
It sure is.
It's just a
clone. How many times did we play through it on that stream?
Like twice. And I've played through it like two more times since then.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes like no time at all.
Yeah,
like, it takes like, I don't even
like 30 minutes maybe.
Yeah,
to beat it.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. And it has like six stages, and you just fly through them in this helicopter, and you aim with the gyro controls, and you blast with your big laser machine guns, and all the cyborgs explode, and the helicopters explode, and the tanks explode, and there's a boss fight at the end of each stage, and then you beat the game, and you say, "Damn, that was a good way to spend $3. you can also play up to 4-player co-op in it, which is pretty cool. We only did 2-player, but you can play up. I can't even imagine how unreadable that screen would be with 4 players all making
extremely. I think we talked about that when we were playing. I was like, there's no way.
Yeah.
Just absolutely no way.
Yeah. I think Actually, you know, you said that your one complaint was actually, I want to say really quick though, you can play with touch controls on the screen or with the gyroscope on the controller, and the gyroscope aiming works really well. I was surprised because I'd heard mixed things about how well it works in House of the Dead, but here at least it works really well. I think part of that is because in the original, you know, there's different kinds of light gun games, you know, if like the guns handle a little differently. In House of the Dead, that's a very like precision aiming game. You want to get headshots in that game always and save your ammo so you're not reloading as much. In this game, you're never reloading. You're just holding down one button and kind of swinging the reticle around the screen. And so it kind of, this kind of shooter actually, I think, works really well for gyro aiming because you're not trying to necessarily precision aim. You're just trying to direct your gun's fire to this side of the screen and the explosions do the rest.
Yeah, it's a game that you like not so much play as you experience, and like really as long as you like can just kind of move your arm a little bit and have a pulse, like you're gonna be fine.
Yeah. I mean, I think it does have like infinite continues anyway. So,
yeah,
what was I going to say? I also played it on the Pro Controller. I know we played it with the Joy-Cons individually, but the Pro Controller works really well, too. It kind of feels like you're actually holding a chain gun, like with both your hands around the controller. It just feels good.
Yeah. Cause that was something that did kind of bother me a little bit, was I felt like I was having to recenter my reticule like more than I would have liked.
Yeah.
But it also didn't matter.
It's fine.
It really just did not matter at all.
But, you know, I know you said that the credits are the only complaint that you have, which is a big complaint. Like, I want to know who made this game and why and how I can thank them. But I have another complaint, which is that, like, it is kind of just a bare bones package. You get, like, the arcade mode, and then you get a score attack mode where you can, like, select a stage and try and get your best score on that stage.
Yeah. I think that didn't bother me all that much because it was $3.
Yeah. But I mean, it is $9.
But it's worth pointing out, though. Yeah,
it is. And it's like, I think that it would have gone a long way to just have, like, you know, three difficulties or, I don't know.
Or like an alternate route or something.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, you can change routes throughout the stage. That'd be dope. But even just like being able to play on like hard or very hard or like limited continues or something, but there's like nothing here. It is just, you just hop in and shoot and you're done. And so, but you know what? It's fun. And I like it. I'm going to give it should I give it a buy it? Cause I don't think it's for everyone. I mean, if you're a big dumb idiot like us, it is a buy it, I would say. But like,
I think it's one of those things that you probably know if it's for you or not, but also,
I'm going to give it a try it, but I'm going to say it's like a very high try it. If you if you look up some footage of it or whatever, and you're like, yeah, this looks like something I'm into, you'll probably really enjoy yourself.
I think it's a try it until it's on sale. Then it's a buy it.
Yeah. If it's like under $5, like it's a buy it for sure. At $10. I don't even know if I could justify it myself at $10, but, it's like a perfect like $5 to $2 game. All right, cool. That's Assault Chain Guns KM. It's Assault Chain Gun with a capital S space KM. I don't know.
Something I will say about that game just real quick before we move on.
Yeah.
That's such a good like just game to throw on if you're drinking or smoking with some friends and absolutely. Just like we are stupid and we need something stupid.
We need to just do that. We need to just have one of those Switch parties again at your house where we like played a bunch of like couch multiplayer
stuff.
We
should do that. That'd be fun.
Yeah, we haven't had one of those.
I was thinking about that yesterday because I was going through and like making a little bit of room for Dragon's Dogma.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like trying to like decide what to remove. I was just looking at different things. I was like, I don't want to remove that. That one's really fun to play with people. I was like, I haven't really done that in a long time.
Yeah.
But I stood my ground and I said, no, Duck Game stays on here. Duck Game, it's going to stay.
Duck Game gets to stay. Anyway, yeah, so it's Assault Chain Guns KM. It's fun. We like it. Let's go on to our other reviews. I also got sent another game from publisher Flynn's Arcade. It was actually through the CRT Pixels account. They wanted me to post about the game on my feed, but I said, you know, I'm sorry, I don't really do that kind of thing on here, but if you want me to review it for my podcast, I'll still take a code. And they're like, all right, sweet. So they sent us a code for Galacticon. Galacticon, yeah. I think just released like a week or so ago. Yeah, May 22nd. So
pretty recently. Yeah, I was looking at the recent releases like last night and I saw it on there.
Yeah. So Galacticon is $4.99. It is, I don't know what all it's on, but I am playing on the Switch. That is the version that I'm reviewing specifically. And it is a pretty fun little game. So it's definitely a throwback to early 80s arcade games. You get big Defender and Joust vibes from this, but it's sort of, and it feels right out of that era, and it kind of perfectly captures that era of arcade games, for better and for worse. But it's, if you like that era of arcade games, I don't know why you wouldn't love this, because it feels really authentic as well. And it's a cool original game. So you essentially play as this character called the Galacticon, who's like a half cyborg, half god, giant monster creature with wings that can shoot lasers. And essentially what's going on is there is a scourge on the galaxy, and that scourge is what we expected it to be the whole time. It's humans. And the humans have gone around and enslaved and colonized, you know, all over the universe. And now some different alien races have come together and made the difficult decision to summon the Galacticon and hope that it can defeat the humans. And so what you do is you fly around these levels and you platform and you collect power-ups. You also pick up these different alien species. They kind of just look like little, you know, circle guys with, you know, two dotted eyes, and you pick them up and you move them down and into these safe bases at the bottom of the screen. But these alien species don't all get along with each other, and so you don't want to put like the red and the blue alien species together, because they will actually cancel each other out and you'll lose some points for that. And there's different power-ups you can pick up. There's like one that lets you fire both in front of and behind you. There's like one that makes you invincible, and there's some others as well. And when you ascend to your ship after gathering up all the alien species, you have to like kind of, you know, dodge and weave your way through these asteroids. And then when you get to your ship, you move on to the next level, which will have new enemies, etc. So it's, you got a bit of like Defender in the shooting and the flying. You got a bit of Joust in the platforming. You even get a bit of Flicky in the way that you collect the aliens and bring them back to the bases. And it's a fun little arcade game. I like it a lot. It is single player. I think it would have benefited from like, some two player action, but I can't really complain. For $5, it's a fun little arcade game. And I think that, if you like old, 80s arcade games that are kind of, easy to pick up and play, but difficult to master, and you like, shooting for a high score, and you like trying to find little secrets and stuff, I think you're gonna have a good time with Galacticon. So I feel pretty safe in giving Galacticon a buy it.
Yeah, I haven't really played it, but I watched you play it for a little bit, mm-hmm. and yeah, that seemed, I would agree with that just from the bit that I've seen.
Yeah, it's like I don't know. It's obviously isn't going to be for everyone, but like, I know that there's very like my dad would be super into this, because he just loves like games from that era. But you know, when growing up as a kid, I played a ton of like Defender and Joust on my Game Boy Color. I had like a cartridge that had like both of those games on it. So there is like a part of this that feels very nostalgic for me. And this game definitely captures that that era of arcade games really well, and I like it a lot. So it's well designed and fun and cool. And sexy. All right. Well, thank you to Flynn's Arcade for sending us a review copy of Galacticon. Once again, it is $4.99, and you can pick it up on the Nintendo Switch right now. All right. I think we just have one more review, Addison.
Well, yes, but I also have something to talk about as well.
Oh, Morbius?
No, it is not Morbin time.
Oh, okay. Wait, what is the thing you have to talk about?
You did this last time, too.
Yeah. The play date. Yes, yes.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's do our last review, and then we can talk about some of your cool stuff, Addison. And I'm excited. It's a lot of arcade-y style games this week. It's kind of an arcade
episode. It really is. Yeah. Right? I hadn't thought about that, but it's extremely arcade-y.
Yeah. So our next game tonight comes to us from publisher Enin Games, and we really appreciate them sending us a review copy of Cotton Fantasy. It is $39.99 for the Nintendo Switch. I was really excited to see that, to get a review copy of this, and they sent us two of them, which was really cool.
Yes, thank you.
So
we always appreciate that when we can both kind of experience the game. And
this one especially, like lately they've been doing a really good job kind of putting out these Cotton collections or kind of ports of different Cotton games. If you don't know the Cotton series, it is a series of cute 'em up games, those sort of like cute little shoot 'em ups, if you couldn't pick it up from the name. And yeah. They're usually really difficult, even though they have like cute visuals and you're, you know, a little witch on a broom shooting lasers at pumpkins or whatever.
It's like it's very Toho-esque.
Yeah, absolutely. And so there's been like, you know, there's Cotton 100% and there's Panorama Cotton and there's Cotton 2. It's a huge series. I think we only got like one or two of them in the US officially until recently. But yeah, I've always liked the Cotton games, especially the first couple. And I was really excited to see that they were making like a full on brand new Cotton game for the Switch called Cotton Fantasy. And so that's what we are here to review today. So Addison, why don't you tell me a little bit about what happens or what you wind up doing in Cotton Fantasy?
Well, you kind of covered a lot of it already. You know, to go beyond what you've already said, the story is something. You play
it's fully voice acted. We can say that.
Oh yes, fully voice acted. Thank God. You play as the titular Cotton, and you gotta eat all of the big candies that I have just gone brain dead and forgot what they're called. Something with a W.
The Willows.
Willows. Yes. You want to eat all the willows and someone doesn't want you to eat the willows and, you got to shoot on your broom. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I want to meet the people that are like super into the Cotton lore and I want to find out why.
I will say that the story is really funny. It doesn't take
it's seriously. It's very goofy, lighthearted.
And I also appreciate, which I never realized from the other games, I also appreciate the characterization of Cotton herself as just a real piece of shit that people can't stand.
Yeah. She means well, I think.
I think. She just doesn't really care about anyone except, or anything except being able to eat these giant willow candies, which they do be looking pretty good. So I mean,
they just look like candy. Like they look like a little, what are those like little chocolate ball things called, like truffles?
Yeah.
Sounds good to me. But yeah, so that's, I mean, it does have a story, and once you've gone through the game once, you can kind of take some alternate routes, and you've got several different characters that you can play as, all that play a little bit different and are from other games that I can almost guarantee you haven't heard of, because we hadn't heard of almost all of them.
Well, there is Umihara Kawase in it, who is from Umihara Kawase, which is it's still a really obscure game, but like one that more people might know. It's a Super Nintendo platformer where you're this girl and you platform by using a fishing rod, actually, as like a grappling hook. And they've made several more of them since, like here recently. Like there was one for the 3DS we actually reviewed on the show. And then I think there was one that came out for the Switch, but I don't know much about that one in particular. And then you've also got Ruffy from Doki Doki Poyachio.
Sure.
You've got Saivaria from Saivarier. And you've got Fine from Sanveen.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know any of those games. I'm sorry.
I didn't really know like any of those, but I was just like, yeah, though I believe that these are video games. Those all check out. Sound like games
you do get Cotton and Apley and Takut and Silk, though, who are all from the Cotton series.
Right. Yes.
But I don't know. I didn't get Silk, and I didn't see Silk until I started looking up this list, and it says that Silk, who is the little fairy lady, mm-hmm. was an Amazon pre-order exclusive. Which, like, ew, huh. if that's the case, if that is the case, I really hope that they release her as like DLC, because
that's makes me sad. How those things usually go. But I'm curious, like, how that came. I just, Cotton doesn't seem like the kind of game that people are making that kind of a deal on.
Amazon pre-orders. I mean, I have seen a lot of people really hyped for this game, though. I'm glad to say that it's good. It turned out really good. I was really surprised by just how natural it felt and how well it plays and how each of the characters play completely differently and have their own mechanics, which is really cool. I mean, a couple of them play pretty similar, but for the most part, they all kind of play really unique from each other. It also like has a really nice visual style that mixes together like hand-drawn 2D assets with, I think, I think they're 3D assets. It was hard for me to tell if they were 3D or if they were like, you know, 2D sprites using 3D models. I think they were 3D though, like some of the bosses and some of the enemies and things. But yeah, it just has this really colorful, explosive, kind of overwhelm, like just sensory overload aesthetic to it, which is really fun. And that includes the music, which is just, you know, it's just fun, kind of happy, hardcore stuff where it's just, it goes. And what you, once you like mix together Cotton's screams with the music and the visuals, you have a game that my wife walks past and says, what the hell are you playing?
The game is very sensory overload.
Yeah.
Like in every possible way. Yeah, I'm sorry,
That's like a feature, though. It's not like a...
That should not be taken as a complaint, necessarily.
Yeah, but it's a lot of fun. I like it. I like Cotton Fantasy a lot. I will say that, like, it is really tough. It's a tough game. You know, you do have infinite continues, but it'll reset your score every time you continue. So you kind of want to try and do your best to not die,
which but you're going to obvious. You're going to
but
die.
You're going to you're going to die. But I will say, and one of my complaints was that I was hoping that I would be able to, you know, play on easy or something, but and there's not really like an easy mode, but there's a training mode that has all these customizable difficulty options. And so if you want like more of an easy difficulty experience, or you want to just add on a bunch of lives, or you want to be fully powered up the whole time, like, yeah, training mode is the way to play through the game. And I always like when shooters do that, especially these days, because I find that I learn a game better by just playing through with infinite continues a few times and then limiting myself to, like, you know, 3 credits or whatever. So, yeah, it's been a good time. I've played a lot of Cotton Fantasy these last couple weeks, and it's been really fun. So I'm just very glad we got to review it. So,
yeah. It was a good time. It's a game that it's just like hard to know if it's going to be right for somebody or not, because it is kind of pricey, but you get a lot of content. So it's just like, if you're super into shooters, yes, buy it. But if you're more like a casual shooter fan, then like, I understand if you need to wait for a sale or something, but
yeah,
you get like all the training levels after you play through it once. And you know, there's characters to unlock and a leaderboard to chase, and it's just a really visually striking game, and I had a really great time with it.
Yeah, and what was I gonna say? Yeah, and I completely agree with that. And I think that, like, I will just say that if I had paid the $40 for this personally, like, I would not have been disappointed, because it's definitely worth it. But, you know, yeah, I get that some people are like,
If you're not super familiar with shooters or super into shooters, like, to go into a game like Cotton and it just like, I mean, I guess this isn't like an issue with the game. This is just like a me wanting to point out that sometimes people don't fully understand the shooter genre and how they are intended to be experienced. And so sometimes that creates an issue where people think that, you know, there should be way more game here, or like the developers were lazy or something like that.
Yeah. And it's like, nope, there is a lot of game here. You just have to play it right.
Yeah.
Like, yep, yeah. Try and play through this game with three or four credits and tell me that, there's not a lot of game here. But anyway, all right, well, that's Cotton Fantasy. We really enjoyed it. I think both of us give it a buy it, right?
Yeah. I would give it a buy it.
Yeah, with some asterisks, you know, if this is the kind of thing that you're into, kind of thing. But yeah, that's Cotton Fantasy. It is $39.99. It is available right now on the Nintendo Switch. And we want to say thank you once again to Enin Games for sending us a pair of review codes and allowing us to do this review. All right. Well, I guess that's all of our individual Switch game reviews. Addison, do you have any other things you'd like to talk about?
I do.
Oh,
the day has finally come. The waiting for me, at least, is over. And I have now owned a Playdate for a little over a week now. Has it been a week or... I don't know. Time's weird. Time doesn't... It's not real. But yeah, I've been playing a lot of Playdate, and so that's probably why I didn't have as much to talk about at the start there, because most of my gaming time has been going into my Playdate. I have way too much on there to talk about all in one episode, so I think I'm just going to try to talk about like a week of games at a time, and maybe one or two sideload things at a time.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So to kick off the first week, oh, also I will say, you know, skip ahead 10 minutes or so if you are just not wanting to get any of Playdate stuff spoiled. Although this initial week of games has been pretty heavily publicized, so I think most people know about the first week of games. But anyways, you get two games whenever you boot up your Playdate. The first one is Whitewater Wipeout, which is an excellent use of the crank. It is a score-based game that is a take on the surfing game from California Games, if you're familiar with that. And so you have to kind of turn the crank a little bit to start paddling up the wave, and then you have to turn it very accurately to kind of just carve the wave and kind of get some speed going. Mm-hmm. And then you'll go off the top of the wave and you just want to spin, and you want to see how many, you know, circulations you can get to get your points going. But it's a little bit deeper than that, because sometimes, you know, you might see a bird, and if you hit the bird, you get a lot of extra points, and it'll say like bird up across the screen. You can also use the D-pad. And so using the D-pad in conjunction with the crank, if you hold up, you go a little bit higher. If you hold left or right while cranking, then you spin a little bit faster. And you have to land head first. No, not head first. I don't know how to really describe it accurately, but you have to land just right so that, like, you know, you're not landing sideways or on the back of your board, so that you are landing your trick. And so you get three chances to kind of combo up some scores. And then at the end, you get your score, and if it's good enough, it'll go on the leaderboard. But you also have like a system, like local leaderboard, to just kind of keep track of your highest scores. And the people out there that are doing like the insane like top 10 high scores, I don't know how the hell they're doing that, but I've definitely been making improvements, and it's an addicting little game. So I really enjoy Whitewater Wipeout. Seems like it's one of those love it or hate it kind of games based on what other people have expressed in my various feeds. The other game,
I really enjoyed it. Like, because whenever you brought your Playdate over, I played it for a little while, and I just like, I think for me, it just immediately clicked, and I loved it. So I yeah, it's dope.
Yeah, it clicked for you like faster than it did for me. It took me like a couple tries to kind of get it right, but I did eventually. Really think
what that shows me, I think, is that the crank, just like any other input method people have to get used to, is going to be divisive for some people. I think it's just like, you know, with, outside of like very predictable use cases like turning it for reeling a fishing rod or whatever, I feel like it's gonna not click perfectly for everyone all the time in some games.
Yeah, that's fair. The other game that you get with it is called Casual Birder, and I love Casual Birder.
That's like one of the ones I'm most excited for.
Yeah, so Casual Birder, it's an interesting use of the Playdate. It's like a mix of like a Pokemon RPG, but also Pokemon Snap, but also like just, you know, your standard adventure game. So you're going around and you've got your camera and you're new to town and you've kind of started enjoying being a birder and taking pictures of different birds. But there's like a gang of jerks in the town, and they are gatekeeping, and they think like, oh no, you can't be a birder. You don't have like a fancy DSLR, and you don't even know everything. And like, they're just being assholes to you. And so you were just going around and helping people out so that they will help you get pictures of different birds. I believe there's like 27 birds in all, and you have like a little kind of photo album slash Pokedex thing where you can take pictures of all the, you know, different birds and save those pictures and get like a little snippet about the bird. They're all fake birds. They all look like actual birds but have like goofy names. I don't have my playdate on me right now. Last time I kind of read off some of them. The only one that I'm really remembering right now was there was a goose that whenever you take a picture of it, it just says like annoying local celebrity or something like that, which is funny because Panic also published a goose game. And so it's just a short little adventure RPG with just some fantastic goofy ass writing, and I had a great time with it. I think it took me, I don't know, maybe 4 hours, probably less, but I didn't get all the birds, but it gives you a point at the end of the game that you can go back to and before experiencing the end game event and just, you know, go get your missing birds. I guess I didn't mention the use of the crank in that game, which is to focus your camera. So
yeah, I love that.
You'll press a button and bring your camera up and you can move it around on the top screen. Well, I mean, there's only one screen, but the phone comes up and then you move it around to go into the part of the screen where the bird is. Because it's like a kind of top-down-esque, you know, very much like a Pokemon game.
Yeah.
And then you will, you know, crank one way or the other to focus the camera. And so some birds you have to, you know, do a chain of events to get them to appear. Some of them are just going to be flying around and you have to just kind of time it. And it's just up to you to kind of figure out how to get the best picture. And it's a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that game, and it's maybe my second favorite playdate game I've played so far. I don't know. Kind of hard to say. I hadn't thought about it too much. But I've really enjoyed it. That brings me to the last playdate game that I wanted to talk about, which I was last time kind of comparing to Breath of the Wild to the Switch, where this game is not as in-depth or expanded upon as something like Breath of the Wild, but if you buy a Switch, you're going to buy Breath of the Wild. If you buy a Playdate, you're going to buy Bloom, which is one of the sideload games from, I think the studio was called RNG Party Games, I think was the name. And it is $10, and you can just use Panic's sideload option, which is super simple and easy. You just get the game off itch or wherever, and then you go to your account on the website, go to sideload, and then you just drag and drop, and then you can either refresh your game list on your playdate to get it immediately, or after some time, your playdate will just automatically grab it from the little server, and then your little light comes on, and on the screen it says new games available, which is very cute and fun, because then whenever you open it up, you've got like a little present, and you open it up the present, and there's your new game's logo, which, yeah. I don't know, it's very wholesome and nice, and it always, you know, makes me happy. I woke up today and I thought, oh, tomorrow's Monday, new Playdate games, and it, I don't know, I just love the Playdate so damn much, but
yeah.
Anyways, Bloom is a very narrative-driven game in which you play as this girl, Midori, and she's kind of discovering herself a bit and having some relationship issues with you know, various people. I don't want to spoil much of the story because that's the whole, you know, main reason that you're playing it. But you use the crank in this game to go between your apartment and your apartment's roof where you're growing flowers because you have dropped out of school and you are opening up a flower shop. So you've got to grow the flowers that you're going to sell. And so on the roof, you can buy different seeds, plant them, water them, and then, you know, the game takes place in real time. So after, you know, not necessarily the amount of time it would take in real life to grow a flower, but like maybe depending on what you're growing, it might be like a few hours later, you can go back and just dig up the flower and then it sells it for you. Nice. And then you can buy more flowers that like give you more money. And then you use that money to pay your rent. And when you pay your rent, you will unlock like perks of getting a bonus when you're selling your flowers and opening up more of the garden so that you can grow more flowers at a time. Stuff like that.
Nice.
So
that sounds like a very nice game.
It's very nice. There are conflicts that come up, but everything has been super wholesome, really. There's been moments where I get frustrated because I'm like, no, Midori, why are you doing this? That's not what I would do in that situation. Why are you doing this? But I think that just is a testament to how drawn into the story that I've gotten. A lot of the game's mechanics take place through Midori's phone. So you'll press a button to bring up your phone and you have several apps. Some of the apps are just like ones that you'll hit once or maybe never, like to just look at settings for the game or to look at the staff credits. But the story is all told through text messages. And so you'll get a text message from your girlfriend or from your parents or your landlord. And so you can, you know, read the text and then you'll have response A or response B that you can respond with. And you can also go up and down through the conversation with the crank. And so, you know, you might play this game for 10 minutes and then turn it off. And then come back in a few hours and you've gotten a text from your girlfriend, or a text from, you know, your neighbor. And so events happen in the game that you don't necessarily see. Like something might happen in the game that will change something about the environment, but you don't necessarily see the event happen.
Okay, that makes sense.
So like you might have like a text from saying that she's going to come over, and you know, through the text messages it's conveyed that they had like a little cute movie night date or something. And so like the last text you get from her might say like, hey, I'm on my way, and then the next one will be like, hey, good morning, I had a really nice time with you last night, something like that.
Aww,
There's also a little...
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. So, like, it's like, since the game progresses through text messages, you don't get to see necessarily what happens outside the phone.
Right.
The conversation implies. Okay, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah. There are certain things that might change the way that your apartment looks or the way that the roof looks that I don't want to necessarily give away. But it's not, like, anything huge. There's also a game that you can play on your phone because, I mean, if you have a phone, you probably have some sort of game on there. And so it's like a little Asteroids Geometry Wars kind of game.
Hell yeah.
And there are like some kind of mechanics or story mechanics to that. So once you hit a certain score, you'll get a text message from like one of the top players and he's like, hey, I saw that you finally cracked, you know, 50 points. I can teach you, like, and he'll like kind of be mansplaining the game to you. And Midori is just like, nah, I'm good. It's just, I haven't seen where all that goes yet, but it's been kind of funny to her be like real, like, sassy to him and just be like, no, I can kick your ass on my own, I don't need you. it's funny. I don't know. I think Midori is a good character. All the characters are pretty well written, and I don't know. Addison? I knew I was gonna like this game, but this has like honestly been one of my favorite games this year.
Hey, Addison.
Yeah.
You should play Citizen Sleeper.
Okay. All right.
From what you're describing here, if you like this game that much, you should play Citizen Sleeper.
Okay. All right. I'll throw it on my wish list.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, so those are the Playdate games I want to talk about for this week. So far, absolutely loving my Playdate. Have had like no issues with it, which I was awesome. A little worried because I've just immersed myself in the community. And so that means I see all of the posts about Playdate, and I have seen some people have some like issues with the product, but that's, you know, to be expected. It's a new piece of technology from a company that has not produced hardware before, so you know, it's
I'm desperately hoping I don't get a borked Playdate and have to wait to get it replaced. I will die.
Well, if that does happen, from what I've seen, it seems like Panic has been really good about it. Someone had an issue with their Playdate and they had their replacement one within a week. So
wow, okay, never mind, that's good to hear then.
Honestly, I had a lot of expectations on the Playdate, and it is pretty much lived up to all of them, and
that's awesome. I've
been really happy with it. So that's all I had.
Cool. Well, that's always great to hear. I'm still curious to see, like, I know when I played yours a little bit, you know, it's hard to get a feel for what your thoughts are on just, you know, just from playing it for a few minutes, but I really enjoyed what I played of it and when I got my hands on it. So I'm excited to play it some more, hopefully here pretty soon. I have not gotten my shipping confirmation yet, but I did get, I got like a thing that was, you know, like, oh, we're preparing your order. So I'm pretty excited.
Oh, wait, what do you mean? Like it like is processing?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they sent me something that was like, hey, we're getting stuff together. So confirm all your stuff. And
oh, okay. Okay.
Happening pretty soon.
That, I think they sent that to everybody in group too, but I know you're pretty high up on that, list of group two, so I'm hoping that they start shipping out the second group ones this week, but we'll see.
I'd be very excited. All right, well, you want to do some questions? I know we've kind of talked quite a bit here.
Do you want me to start, or
sure?
Loon-kun asks, what video game franchise do you most want turned into a TV series? And then I will also follow up here. Unovan Joseph asks, what video game franchise do you least want turned into a TV series? So that is a good question. A lot of the ones I can think of have had something like a TV franchise already or something similar. Like I probably would have said Costume Quest, but that got a cartoon show.
That's a good pick.
I don't know. I could have maybe said like a slice of life Animal Crossing thing, but they made that Animal Crossing movie that is basically that.
Yeah, for sure. I was like, I would honestly want like a slice of life Kirby game, like one that's not like that crazy weird anime they did make, but just one that's just like super nice and wholesome and fun and kids can watch it, but it's also funny and heartwarming. I would love that.
I think that needs to be handled by Sanrio.
Yeah, damn, that'd be great. I think the reason that Lunar Knight was asking this is because I think there's going to be a Final Fantasy IX TV series announced here pretty soon, which it may or may not be like for little kids, so we'll see how that goes. But
I would love to see a
can't wait for all those kids to have depression.
I'd love to see like a I don't know how many seasons it would take, maybe like 3 or 4, but a Dragon Quest 11 anime. Like they've had Dragon Quest like anime before, but I don't know if any of them have specifically covered one of the games.
Yeah, that would be sick.
I mean, they had that movie, but we don't have to talk about that.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about that. Oh, God. That makes me so sad. How did they screw that? How did they screw that up, man?
I picked up Koro-Q recently. That would make an interesting show.
Just where all the cars are sentient?
Yeah. Oh, wait.
They talk to each other?
Oh, that's Cars, huh? Damn.
Yeah. Yep. That's oops, just the Cars
I
show.
Forgot Cars. Shit.
That sounds pretty great. I was going to say, for the show I want least to have a TV, or the game series I least want to have a TV show, is Gex.
Okay.
Coming to Adult Swim this fall, Gex.
It would be followed by the Conker's Bad Fur Day cartoon.
God, that sucks made, so bad, Addison.
Made by Matt and Trey Parker. Or wait, they don't have the same last name. Was it Matt Stone and Trey Parker? I don't know.
I have no idea.
Yeah. All right. So let's see. Brains asks, if you could own one arcade machine, what would it be?
Oh, fuck. That's a great question. If I could own one arcade machine, it would probably be, I want it to be something that like I can't just access anywhere. Something I don't mind replaying. I mean, I think if it was one machine, it would be a Neo Geo, like Big Red, where I can swap the cartridges in and out, because then I can access a bunch of Neo Geo games on it. But you know, I'm guessing they're saying like one arcade game, like cabinet.
This is a waste of a wish. In this fantasy situation, but I want the Jurassic Park Lost World game.
That's a great pick. Are you kidding me?
I just want to have that in my living room. I will never turn it off. It's just going to be screaming throughout my whole house.
Never got ported to anything. It's a great game. That's a great pick. On a similar note, I think mine would probably be Daytona USA 2 or something like Lost World 2 as well. Because I'm like, you know, part of me wants to pick a light gun game. Like on that same hardware, there's another game called like, what is it? Treasure Hunters or something?
Yes, with the big spiders or whatever.
Yeah, and it's just like fucking insane. Yeah. At the end of the game, they like save the world, and we're like, we saved the world. Now what do you want to do? And then a big dragon breaks through London or whatever, and they're like, yeah, well, I guess we got to go back to work. Yeah, it's fantastic. So like, there's a part of me that's like, you know what? I think I'd want something like that probably.
Yeah, that's a good one. What about like, I don't know if this is cheating, but a whole row of those Mario Kart arcade games that have like the camera and you can play as Pac-Man.
That'd be awesome.
All right. Let's see. Brains asked a bunch of other questions, but
we can save some of them for next episode.
Yeah. Here's another one from Unovan Joseph. They said, you're transported into a Pokemon Mystery Dungeon game. What Pokemon are you? I am Garbodor.
I'm Nidoran Male. I mean, he's my favorite, but that's because I relate to him. I just prickly little sassy boy. I really think I'd be Nidoran if I had to. I mean, it's like you probably want to be your favorite Pokemon, I would assume. Unless your favorite Pokemon is, I don't know, Garbodor or some shit, where your whole existence is going to be pain.
Okay. Hopscotch Plus asks, hypothetical scenario, Blockbuster is open again. You've got a pass for one game and one movie for the weekend. What are you picking?
There's too many variables here. Because Blockbuster is it?
Okay, so I'm going to narrow this down some. Let's just pretend that this is, you can pick anything that has released from like the year 2002 on back. And I'm going to just say like, you know.
Is this our like local Blockbuster? Because I remember like stuff that was at our local Blockbuster.
Sure. I guess. It doesn't matter. I'm kind of just trying to think about that era. Because I wouldn't have, you know, rented something that I already owned that I like really liked, because I already owned it.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with my classic rental game that I rented so many times, which was Legend of Legaia for the PlayStation. I used to just rent that game like almost every weekend. I don't know why I never bought it, and now it's expensive. So, or Suikoden 2. That was the other one I used to rent as well that I should have bought. Suikoden 2 is another one that I would probably go with. I always liked renting big RPGs on the weekend, and then like trying to see if my brothers and I could finish it in just like a one weekend.
That's insane.
We almost never would, but we tried. we take a couple weekends.
All right, what's your movie?
For movie, I'm going to go with a VHS copy of The Gate.
Okay. And then I want to add to this, because I almost every time I went to Crown Video, which was like our local chain, it's like Blockbuster, but we never went to Blockbuster. We always went to Crown Video. My mom would also...
Crown Video was the cheaper one. And it had like cooler stuff too. They had a Japanimation section until the day they closed down like 3 years ago.
Yes. I would rent the Berserk tapes from there.
Hell yeah.
I don't think my mom knew what I was watching.
I don't know why I didn't buy those. Because I remember when I walked in there like not that long ago, I think I sent you and some other people a photo of it. It was before I collected VHS. I was like, look at this Japanimation section. I should have bought all that shit. Every single one.
Yeah. But
I didn't.
But my mom would always let me get some candy or some sort of snack. So what would be the snack that you're getting?
Ooh, shit. As a kid, I always picked Mike and Ike's. Mm-hmm. But I don't know why. Just I think because my dad got hot tamales and I wanted to get something similar, but not the same thing as my dad. But today it would be Reese's Pieces for sure.
Hot tamales are such like a mom or dad candy.
I love them. They're great.
They're good, but like good, that's like it's a mom or dad kind of candy.
It is my dad's brand. Like people buy him hot tamale stuff all the time. He always has like a giant bag of them in his car. He eats them all the time.
I had a supervisor that was exactly like that. People would always buy her hot tamales and she just had like a constant like stash of them. Okay. For me, I would get probably something on the 64.
Oh shit, you're right. Yeah. Get Clay Fighter and never take it back.
I think my pick will be Doom 64 because I always wanted to rent it and my mom never would let me because demons.
Oh man.
But one time my mom was gone and my dad let me rent it and then my mom was pissed. And I just remember having a good time playing Doom 64 with my friend. So Doom 64, and then for my movie, we are going to get, man, I don't know. I'm going to go with Men in Black because I've just been thinking about Men in Black lately. And, I do remember that was the first DVD that our family rented. So
yeah, that's sick.
I'll grab Men in Black and then a package of Wild Berry Skittles because that was like almost always what I grabbed. I just really like Wild Berry Skittles a lot.
Yeah, they are good.
Steve-O replied to the question and said X-Men Origins Wolverine for the 360 and 300. God. That's a good pick.
See, if we had bumped the era up a little bit, I would have gone with Suikoden 5. I was always trying to rent Suikoden 5 and Alter F, always. And they were always checked out, like, all the time. And now they're, like, you know, of course, worth, like, $250 to $300 each.
Yeah.
So, I've lost my chance. A couple of years ago, I think it was during 2020, Momo tried to sell me her copies for, like, $100 each. And I was like, no, that's just way too much. And now I'm like, God dang it. I should have just bought them because they're like worth triple that.
Do we want to do the one that Ben asked?
Let's just do just a little bit. People don't care about wrestling, but we can do just like two predictions each.
Okay. And then this is something that has kind of started being on the server a little bit more. I know it's not everybody's thing and that's okay. But Ben Raymer, our handsome dad mod, asks Double or Nothing predictions. Want to show how wrong you are when the episode goes live later this week. Also, if you don't want to run the whole card, just do Punk versus Hangman and we'll MJF show predictions. So for Punk versus Hangman, I am going for Punk. And will MJF show? I think he will.
I think I am also going with Punk because I think the plan, I think all this hinges on MJF because I think they want to put the belt on MJF. And I think if you put the belt on Punk, you can start up the, because MJF's stuff with Wardlow is going to be over. You can start up the Wardlow or the MJF and Punk feud, and then you can put the belt on MJF at some point. It doesn't even have to be next. It can be down the road. But I think that's what they're going to want to do at some point. Now, if MJF shows, because it kind of seems like he might not, I don't know. I'm going to go with it that it's a work. I'm going to go with that he shows up, he does the match. I just can't see him fucking over.
I don't think it's like a work, that. But
I think it's a work. I think it's a work. I'm going with a work. If there's one person that could get away with it, it would be him.
That's true.
If it's not, I'm wrong. But I hope it is. So that's what I'm going with. Well, that's wrestling stuff. I guess we'll see when we all watch wrestling tonight.
Hell yeah.
I hope it turns out good. All right. That is our episode. Thank you all for listening so much. We wouldn't be able to do this show without you all and your support. And we want to make sure that we thank you each and every week. And I want to say thank you to all the folks who sent us review codes. Thank you to my co-host, Addison. And we want to say an extra big thank you to the folks who let us use their music for our intro and outro. Our intro is Time Trials by Hyper Potions, and our outro is Hut by the River by Sound Market. You can check out more of their music in our show post. You can also find links to trailers and shop pages and all the stuff, all the information for all the games we covered in this episode within our show post. All right, well, I guess that's our episode. We will be back very soon with some more cool games to talk about. So until then, I guess we will see you guys later.
Okay, love you. Bye.